Hello, I'm John Burns, and welcome to Outside In, the podcast for people who like being outside, but for one reason or another, I'm going to stay inside right now. I don't know how everybody's feeling out there. I'm sort of feeling, you know, I'm on my own most of the time, and I'm thinking, oh, it's fine, it's all right. And 10 minutes later, I'm thinking, oh my God! So I'm sort of hovering most of the time between absolute complacency and complete terror. I thought I'd give you this little podcast here. What I've been doing, I've been taking my book, Bothy Tales, and turning it into an audio book. Bothy Tales is a really popular book. People really love it, and it's really a collection of tales and ramblings and yarns that I got together and pulled together from sort of my experiences in Scottish bothies. Some of the stories are true, some of them are completely out of the tortured corridors of my own mind. I'm not going to tell you which ones, you can have to try and guess that. But Bothy Tales is available from Vertebrate Publishing right now with 30% off. So if you fancy getting along there, and I think that's, I don't know what that costs, as an e-book, I think it's only about £3 anyway. Anyway, I don't know. But I've been really having some tremendous feedback from the book. So, listeners, here I am, reading a chapter from Bothy Tales. Dry Man Walking. I've been walking this forestry road for the last half hour, kicking my way along the forestry tracks as fast as I can go, poles thumping into the dirt, breathing hard, sweating and wondering if I'll get there in time. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. This is a race and the stakes are high. I can see the rain coming in as a great curtain of grey sweeps towards me down the glen. At last I emerge from the forestry, and all around me there is devastation. Trees lie shattered, limbs splintered, branches broken and twisted, a scene of carnage, as though some huge battle was fought here, and the spent protagonists left only minutes ago. The forestry has been harvested, tall trees felled, and the landscape changed dramatically in only a couple of weeks. The tracks are churned to mud by great earth movers, and everywhere fragments of trees lie shattered. There is no escaping the fact that the great serried ranks of trees must be harvested, but I never get used to seeing the debris of the aftermath. Soon the machines will return and cover the landscape with young trees to await the return of the forest. Nowhere I walk, apart from the very summits of the hills where little can ever grow, is natural landscape. The hand of man is written everywhere. The great native forests that once covered the highlands are long gone, and have been replaced by open grassland, kept clear by sheep and huge numbers of red deer, or the industrial plantations of trees. Britain has no true wilderness. Nowhere is more than a day's walk from a road or a dwelling. Nature, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder, and I find myself increasingly seeking out what I can describe as wildness, as opposed to wilderness. Wildness is a glimpse of a barn owl leaving its roost on a cold winter's day to make the most of the waning light. Wildness is the flash of white as a stoat darts for cover high on the moors. It is a moment or two watching an otter fishing in the waters of Loch Doo. It is in the wind whispering through the long grass behind the bothy door as the sun sinks and the light of the day fades into evening. These things are the same as they were 10,000 years ago and 10,000 years before that. They are primal. They are part of us. They are where we came from and to where we will return. We do not visit nature. We are nature. I am able to visit the wilder parts of Britain, enjoy the remoteness that the Highlands have to offer. but there are glimpses of wildness even in our most urban environments. Anywhere that you can get close to a tree has to be a good place to be. The health benefits of owning a cat or a dog are well known. Contact with a cat can lower blood pressure, and the need to regularly exercise a dog is likely to increase your fitness and decrease your weight. Perhaps, however, the real benefit of being close to a dog or a cat is not the physical changes they bring. It resides in a need within us all to be close to an animal, or at least something natural in our environment. How many people live their entire lives without being able to step off tarmac or concrete and feel the earth beneath their feet? Surely this is something that must be as dangerous to health as stress or the pollutants around us. Freed from the shroud of trees, the track leads on into open space where the river meanders lazily in the boggy floor of the glen. I can see Glen Peen Bothy now, only half a mile away, the small stone building nestling against the side of the glen, just above the floodplain of the river. Beyond the Bothy, the green hills steepen and the glen narrows, enticing you onwards. The path runs on to Oban Bothy, where the glen narrows to a sharp V. I've never visited Oban, and the Bothy is locked until February. The rumours say it's a little gem of a place, remote and beautiful, and only recently open to the public. I file that information away for an adventure in March. That's a dream for the future. It's today's adventure that holds my attention. The sky is dark, and huge black rain clouds lurk behind the outlines of the hills crowding the end of the glen. Beyond the Bothy, and approaching fast, is a curtain of grey that's been heading my way for a while now. This rain has given my steps urgency through the broken forest. My mind is set on one thing, getting to the Bothy before the rain gets to me. I have an aversion to rain. I treat it as if it were liquid acid that will strip my body of flesh in minutes. I play cat and mouse with it, timing my walks with precision to dodge the raindrops. The rain knows this. It tries to fool me, luring me out from shelter with little shafts of sunshine, encouraging me to stray into the open where it can pommel me with airborne oceans. The ancient Gore-Tex jacket I own has long since given up the struggle to hold back the bombardments of water that lurk in the highlands. It's so old, the last time it got wet, the tapes on the seams all came loose and left me looking like a soggy Christmas tree. I like the snow, love the cold, and can tolerate the wind. But rain is as welcome as a rattlesnake in a lucky dip. I've been wet before, and I didn't enjoy the experience. I've made a trade. In the exchange we all make between time and money, I chose time. More simply put, I took early retirement. So I have plenty of time, but not a lot of cash. So far, it's been a good trade. I delight in the freedom. I don't have to get up every morning and talk to people I don't like about things I don't care about. I don't have to waste days looking out of the window, sitting in meetings the outcome of which are of no consequence. I can climb in my car beside the River Ness any time I like and head for the wilderness. The freedom I have is worth the occasional soaking. I'll trade new rain gear for this day of freedom, as long as I can make the Bothy before the rain gets here, that is. Glen Peen sits on a thin ribbon of land in line between two great lochs. One is Loch Arkaig, an incredible place. You turn off the main road to Fort William and drive off into a kind of lost world. The loch is huge and the road that runs beside it was designed by Evel Knievel on an off day. It's around 15 miles of roller coaster with the added spice of blind bends and oncoming Land Rovers. Loch Arkaig is to the east, but to the west lies an equally spectacular loch, Morar. The loch is over 11 miles long, and at over 1,000 feet deep, it is the deepest body of fresh water in the British Isles, deeper even than the giant Loch Ness. Its shores are remote and mysterious, and it is even fabled to have its own monster, Morag. Sadly, I am convinced that neither the monster of Loch Ness nor Morhag can have any basis in fact. The ecology of neither loch is able to support an animal of that size. Sunlight can only penetrate their waters to a depth of just over a metre, meaning that only 7% of the waters are able to sustain life. Having walked and driven along the shores of Loch Ness for many years, I can testify to the fact that the geography of the loch, a great deep cleft between long high hills, does give rise to unusual wave patterns which a fertile imagination can ascribe to the passage of an underwater dinosaur. Unfortunately, it is the wind rather than a monster that creates those waves. The mystery surrounding Loch Ness is deepened by the fact that the legendary occultist and mountaineer Aleister Crowley once lived in a house on the shore of the loch at a place called Boleskine. Crowley lived there around 100 years ago, at a time when the main road along the loch side ran to the south through the small village of Dawes, not along the north side as it does today. On market days, the farmers of the area would travel to Inverness to sell their produce and return by the evening, inebriated and singing on their empty carts. Crowley, frequently immersed in reading his studies of the occult, grew tired of this disturbance. One night, he constructed a fake monster head and waved it above the hedge of his home as the revellers passed. So alarmed were the passers-by that they never again used that route, and in the future returned home using a considerably longer road. I have no such monsters to worry about as I head for the door of the little bothy, eyes fixed on the wall of water heading my way. Although the bothy is close, the heavy forestry machinery has ripped the last few hundred yards of tracks to shreds, so the going is slow as I stumble over the limbs of fallen trees. Eventually, I fall through the bothy door, and only moments later, the rain arrives and bombards the little bothy with bullets of water. The sound on the tin roof is deafening, and I'm grateful to have that barrier between me and the deluge. If you plan to visit Glenpean Bothy and arrive after dark, take extra care navigating the last few hundred yards. At night, these could be very tricky. In the last few hundred yards before the Bothy, the path is boggy and indistinct. If it's snowing, you might never find it. The Bothy is not as obvious as it appears on the map. If you are there in darkness, take heart. The only monsters you'll meet there are in your own mind. Well, there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. It's really weird listening to a podcast about wild places when you can find. But we'll get out there one day. We'll be back out in the wilds at some point. And that's just to remind you of what we've got. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a vegetable curry in my slow cooker, which I like to think, you know, it'll maybe take about 4 or 5 hours to cook, so it's an investment in the future, isn't it? You know, I'm going to be around for at least another 4 or 5 hours, so there you go. I've been John Burns. I really hope you've enjoyed my little podcast. Do come and listen to me again and give me some feedback. Say hello, I'd like to hear from you. You can get me on Twitter, John D. Burns, or John Burns Writer, sorry, at John Burns Writer. That's who I am on Twitter. Do say hello. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much. Bye bye.